Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, that was Joe Yankovich. Dan stopping in and meeting him. Does a show on Saturday morning here on Talk Radio 1210. We're always interested. We're in a glass enclosed booth. Kind of like SEPTA drivers, but it's not bulletproof.
Do you feel kind of like a... I don't know. It feels like we're zoo animals in
no,
the cage here.
I've always felt like that.
Homer used to have a thing like that with the glass, and the management
this,
would
this
be
must be how monkeys feel when everyone waves at you.
Yeah, and he would always go off on that. All right, so we got a great side question. Something associated with Italy in some way, shape, or form is what we're looking for. I'll announce the big trip at 1:30, and this is much different than the previous trip that we went to Venice and Rome and all that, much different. Rose home country, Calabria involved, but another big island involved with a lot of history. Spectacular, the time of year we're going to. That'll all be at 1:30. So if you were telling me all along, when's the next trip? It'll be here momentarily. All right, we're going to talk with Ryan McKenzie, the congressman from Lehigh Valley. What was it like to be in the room with Democrats? And that's an ultimate swing district. He beat Susan Wilde last night when these big moments came up. What were some of the things being said? What was it like through that? And Jeff Van Drew was also in the Sanctuary Cities thing today. And, of course, we have Scott Jennings coming up at 2 o'clock. But 855-839-1210. Nobody does it better than Trump. And talking about promises made, promises kept as we move forward. I'm hoping today, you know, I've been watching Lutwick, the Commerce Secretary, who's a major player with President Trump, indicate that the tariffs may be going away pretty quickly. There might be some dealing there. I'm not a fan of tariffs. I get it. I get some of the things trying to be done with this. But if we're using it on Mexico, or on Mexico, I get it with fentanyl. Canada, I don't see it. With China, yeah, we have to do a whole lot more. We'll see if this is going to cause any more repercussions or does this end pretty quickly here. Point made and moving on. And Trump last night talked about tariffs a bit. I don't really think he got into the weeds on explaining it. That wasn't the major point. The major points were the things that he ran on in the campaign. And those were legal immigration across the border, and then the trans issue. And Democrats still want to die on both hills. That's what they indicated last night. And they added to that They think politically their base would reject it if they cheered a 13-year-old boy battling brain cancer who was made a Secret Service agent. So isn't that a moment even these Democrat witches would support? If they can't, that tells you all you need to know about the party. How would that be supporting Trump? And, you know, a lot of people are only watching this stuff tangentially. They're not getting into the details. But when they see it, they say to themselves, what's wrong with these people? They're weird. They're out of touch with humanity on this. All right. So 855-839-1210. The big issue is going to be, can you take the money away? How do you take the money away? But on the tariff thing, you're really never going to convince me as a long-term strategy that tariffs are the way to go. I still think in the end, economically, you know, various people we bring on that we think are sound economically, they don't like them either. And I think it's a short-term type of thing to make a point to try to gain a little bit more traction here with Mexico and Canada and then move on. The update today is it looks like this is going to move fairly quickly away from this. But the overall reaction to last night, the CBS polling and the other polling, Trump is in 70% favorability, 75% favorability. People like what they heard. Look, after Biden, this is a refreshing change. America is back. People like to hear that. They want to believe that. They're willing to give some more time on the issue of inflation and a grocery store. But that's an area that's going to be difficult to try to penetrate this and to move forward. Here is Jeff Zelina. This is Cut 9, Dan, from CNN, talking about Laken Riley's death. Listen to the words or phrases that he stumbles over in trying to describe Laken Riley's death.
As well as the mother and sister of Laken Riley, of course. She's the Georgia student who was murdered by an illegal immigrant as well as several other people who have stories of crime and loss and whatnot.
Yeah, very hard to say illegal immigrant. I'm surprised he ended up saying it. So America does not dismiss these people and their pain and their loss. They don't. What's the Democrat counter? What should they have done last night? They should have applauded when they could, embrace that, and then take Trump on when there's a big issue that has some favorability. But they are out of step with the average American. You're not going to make the case. Peyton McNabb may be on the show tomorrow. I'm not, my angle on the whole thing of women against boys or men in sports is not safety, but she's a perfect example of this girl that was really traumatized physically by being spiked with a volleyball. The point I would try to make, maybe it's harder, I'm not sure, but it's about the idea of robbing these girls of something precious, the ability to compete on an even playing field. That's what it's about. Who would want to do that than wear pink supporting women? Who in the world could do that? Well, that's what Democrats are about. They're not going to give it up on this issue. So as maddening as it is, try to take a look at the big picture. This is an 85-15, 90-10 issue, and they're going to lose on it. Same thing with the border. It's approaching 80%. Laken Riley, same thing. They're going to lose on these things. Lutnick telling us that Trump will release tariff agenda 2 on April 2nd. All right, we'll see. I mean, I think he made a fair point. There's short-term loss to kind of rebalance what's going on with Mexico and Canada. But again, China is where I think this could be effective. All right, we're going to talk with, coming up, Ryan McKenzie, who is the newly minted congressman from the Lehigh Valley. What's it like in the room if you're near a Debbie Wasserman Schultz or some of these other women and you have to see this right next to you as you're applauding a 13-year-old becoming a Secret Service agent? They're sitting on their hands or worse. Can you talk to them as colleagues? I wonder what Houlihan would say if she would dare come on the air. Why would you not applaud and celebrate these people? Well, that's giving aid and comfort to Trump. That's why I'm not going to do it. All right, Ryan McKenzie next here on The Dom Show on Talk Radio 1210.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
All right, it is Dom time. What was it like in that room last night? It was electric in some ways. In other ways, it was must have been difficult for Democrats, but maybe a Republican if you're there and you have a 13-year-old boy being made a Secret Service agent and people around you can't clap for that.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's hard to believe.
I'm curious, too. Were any of the Republicans thinking, like, should I say something? Like, have these people show some empathy? Or
yeah. Well, some were pretty mad when the Kane guy, Al Green, who had a lot of hit records back in the day, was going nuts. You know, and a guy was caned to death in the Senate at one point.
Yeah,
it was the height of the Civil War, right before the Civil War.
Really?
The guy just beat him to death in the Senate with his cane.
Gosh.
Yeah, back then.
I thought the political discourse was bad today.
Exactly. All right, let's go to first time on the show. Congressman Ryan McKenzie here, PA 7th. He beat Susan Wild in the ultimate swing district and crypto district, we hear. Congressman, welcome in. Thanks for taking time to join us today.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show. Great to be here.
So last night, you don't have to name names. We're not after that. But what was your sense, first of all, of when the president pointed out some of these people? And any number of Democrats, were there a few that were applauding, like DJ Daniel and people like that?
So So, look, it was exciting to be in the chamber last night to hear the president's address to Congress. We heard all about the things that we had talked about on the campaign trail and that he is now implementing now that he is in office. So that's securing the southern border, getting our economy back on track, ending the chaos around the world, all the things that he and a lot of others of us Republicans campaigned on. Again, it's taking quick executive action on the border. And then there's a lot of work left to be done and that has to go through the congressional process in a lot of other areas. So he laid all those things out. And he also hit on a bunch of really emotional topics, introducing individuals and their individual stories. And what you guys are talking about is true. I mean, you saw it on TV, but I looked over multiple times to the Democratic side of the House, and they were all sitting there on their hands. And I said in other interviews last night that it was simply shameful. And I actually told some of the Democrats that on the floor as well, because they were refusing to clap for a 13-year-old cancer survivor who was being recognized as a Secret Service agent. They were not applauding for a young man who was getting an acceptance to West Point, to our military academy. They weren't applauding when the president talked about the capture of an ISIS terrorist who had killed multiple American service members in, a horrific attack in Afghanistan. And so just totally shameful behavior on their part that they can't even bring it upon themselves to applaud for these things that deserve credit that the president has done because they are blinded by their dislike for Donald Trump. That's really what it comes down to, in my opinion. And so, again, I think it's just shameful the way they conducted themselves.
And it's politics 101. You have to dredge up something. There's got to be some humanity. Plus, politically, when all of you are sitting there like that, I mean, I've interviewed and debated Debbie Wasserman Schultz a few times. And on Fox, you were on the floor, you weren't able to see it. Just her look was soulless almost during this, the discomfort and just the inability to smile at all about it. That may please just the tiniest part of your base. But, you know, hopefully if Republicans did that, we'd call them out too. There's got to be a moment here that really doesn't have too much to do with Trump that you're able to celebrate this. Pick your spot.
That's correct. And, you know, what I'm seeing from a lot of my Democratic colleagues is that, unfortunately, they cannot separate their dislike for Donald Trump and what the American people voted for. Let's get that clear also. He was elected not only through the Electoral College, received the popular vote majority as well. So this is what the American people voted for. But they are against the American people and those positions that they voted for. They're against Donald Trump, and they cannot separate that out from a lot of other positions that are in the best interests of our country and have overwhelming popular support. But again, they can't seem to do that. And so I think they're going to continue to pay a political price if they want to take this resistance posture where even against common sense positions that the president holds and our party holds on so many issues about public safety and about helping protect our children and growing our economy on all of these things that the American people voted for and they publicly support, if Democrats are just going to take this opposition and resistance position, no matter what the public says, I think they're going to continue down a path of political trouble. And if they want to do that, they can be in the wilderness, in my opinion. That's fine.
We wanted to highlight, and, you know, it's hard to highlight all these. We saw that Dave McCormick had on the sheriff of Blair County about fentanyl and about the border. You brought Michael Wargo and his wife, Gold Star parents, who lost their son after a long battle with PTSD. And that's an issue with veterans that certainly needs to be highlighted. And again, you think this would be bipartisan. Also, I'm looking at a piece on this. It says Carbon County, highest rate of veteran suicides of any county in Pennsylvania. Any sense of the reason for that? Is it just random?
Well, so a couple things. So we were really pleased that Mike Wargo was able to join us. Unfortunately, his wife wasn't due to some health complications. But we were grateful that he was able to be with us last night because we were able to highlight this issue of veteran suicide and the challenges that they face after they return from their service. And so I was able to meet the Wargos on the campaign trail, become familiar with their story and how they lost their son, and we want to make sure that we're carrying out his legacy and his message so that this doesn't happen to other individuals. And so we were able to do that in part last night by highlighting him and the advocacy work that he has done for so many veterans across our community. And it's one of these situations where there is no singular silver bullet solution to this problem. So you need to work around mental health, substance abuse, homelessness issues, all kinds of different things that we can do to make sure that our veterans are getting the care that they need. And so we're just so grateful for the Wargos and their ability to come and help continue to advocate for this important issue. And, you know, that's one of the things that we do around the State of the Union as elected officials. It's an opportunity because, you know, the whole country is watching. Not only is President Trump laying out his vision and his agenda for the year, but those of us in Congress, we want to highlight issues that are important to us and our community as well. And as you mentioned, a very significant rate of veteran suicide in Carbon County and something that needs to be addressed and we're going to continue to work on.
Now, Democrats' thrust, not every single one, and certainly I'm not going to besmirch every single or anywhere near that, federal workers, their thrust was to say, pretty much carte blanche, none of this is necessary. We need all these federal workers. How dare you? A lot of them were bringing federal workers in. And the argument they're making is we're starting to see this at town halls. Now, I'm in the camp, but you actually are in the driver's seat as an elected official. It seems to be, I recognize here locally, at least where I am, the usual activist, indivisible, people like that. A lot of these are more Democrat activists. I can't imagine, after last night's speech and seeing the polling, that President Trump MAGA supporters overall are packing a town hall, say, of Orion McKenzie to scream at you. They don't like what Trump's doing.
Yeah, so here's what I would say I've seen from the grassroots level is obviously those of us that supported President Trump, by and large, they're still very happy with the work that he's doing and the direction that he's leading the country. And then you have the opposition, the Democratic Party, who they got wiped out. I mean, they lost everything from the presidency to the U.S. Senate, weren't able to pick up the majority in the U.S. House. And so they are in a position where they don't have an actual leader. They don't have an actual message. All they can do is just be in opposition to anything and everything that President Trump or the Republican Congress wants to do. And so that's the posture and position they're taking up at this point in time. And they have national coordination and national money behind this effort. And so are there local activists and people who are involved in this? Absolutely. But where does the invitation come from? Where does the coordination come from?
Right.
Oftentimes, it is a national entity. And the way that we know that and we see that is because, you know, it's public information. People post this stuff online. But also myself and our Republican colleagues, we've compared notes. You somehow see all the same signs, pre-printed signs showing up at protests outside of different members' offices.
Yeah.
You see the same cookie cutter invitations and templates being provided and shared across different districts all across the country. Somehow they're using the exact same messaging, the exact same materials against all of us. So that is not a grassroots effort. Now, again, they may get local activists to share that interest to join along at the local protests and activities at town halls and stuff like that. But there is clearly a coordinated effort at the national level. And again, that's all they have at this point in time is just to resist and be obstinate to any kind of change. But I have to tell you, the American people spoke in November very loudly, very clearly that they wanted a change in direction in our country. And so if the Democrats want to take this position of just being obstacles, I think that's a really poor position for them politically. It's not good for their country, not good for their constituents. But again, also, I think they're going to pay a political price for that as well.
Jordan, today, Jeff Andrew and others, congressmen, holding a hearing with the four big mayors, principal mayors around sanctuary cities. I believe Allentown's a sanctuary city. So how big of an issue is that in your district?
Yeah, well, it is a very serious issue. And so we've actually been dealing with Northampton County. There's an executive there, Lamont McClure, who signed into action a very similar policy to sanctuary cities. And what I mean by that is it's at the county level, obviously, so it's a little different, but basically saying that they will not fully cooperate with ICE on the handover of violent criminal illegal immigrants who are in their custody at that point in time. And ICE is asking for them to be turned over, they won't let ICE come into a courthouse or a jail and actually do a proper handoff in a controlled setting. And so we have seen this twice recently where Northampton County, the executive very flippantly, in my opinion, says, well, we're just going to release them onto the street and then ICE can pick them up out there. Well, what that means is that ICE needs to stake out the courthouse, wait all day long, taking police resources off the street and away from other things that they could be doing. And they have to wait for this individual to be released. And then they have to apprehend him in an uncontrolled environment, right, out on the street where other gang members could show up or family members could show up and cause a commotion, or the general public. If the individual tries to flee and escape somehow, could get out into the local community. And this has been done now with child predators, domestic abusers, suspected Trende Aragua members. I mean, absolutely crazy. But this was signed 5 years ago by this executive, Lamont McClure, when there was kind of the frenzy the first time Donald Trump was in office to do everything they could to push back against his immigration orders. Well, now our local community is seeing and feeling the effects of that. And I think it's a terrible policy. I think they should change it. They should rescind it. They refuse to do that. But so one of the other things that we are talking about in Congress is, do you take away federal funds from individuals and entities that want to have this kind of policy? Because why are we continuing to fund these operations if you are violating our federal law? And also, you're diverting federal resources. If the resources, which we know are finite, they're constrained,
right,
if you want to waste federal resources, then that is one of these things that we want to actually rein in.
Congressman,
and,
to the point.
And have to stop.
Yeah, that's the thing that would do it. What are the hurdles for listeners? Is it just a judge, a federal judge at one level put in by President Obama or Clinton, or they're ideologically bent that way, and you just can't move the ball? Because this has been tried before. It's the only leverage you might have other than elections, which take a while. What's the hurdle to not being able to do that?
Yeah, we've seen that judicial activism be a roadblock for, right, this kind of policy. And so that is where, the actual next course of action is to pass something through Congress. So that's why this is a topic here, something that's being considered being taken up. And hopefully we'll see some legislative action on this to start to address this issue.
Parting area, every time we have Dave McCormick on, I told him he buried the lead one day about your area, Lehigh County, well, Allentown and environs. Is it going to become a crypto capital?
Well, we have already started to see some of that activity come into our area, and we see, Bitcoin miners and operators coming into the local,
okay,
community. And that's not a bad thing. Again, generating jobs, generating economic activity. And this is a new part of our economy that we want to highlight. There's a lot of legislative action in this space on committees I'm not currently sitting on, but financial services and some other committees are really taking a serious look at this. And just in this new economy, there are so many new technologies that are out there. We want to make sure that America is a leader in all of these spaces, whether it's crypto, AI, all kinds of new things. We want to make sure we're at the forefront of, and all too often, legislation and regulation moves at a much slower speed than technology. And so we are in a position where we have to catch up. We want to make sure that the proper approach that we can actually have safeguards in place, make sure consumers are protected, make sure everything's moving forward, but at the same time, not impede or slow down the innovation and growth in these industries. So it's right. a delicate balance that needs to be struck, but absolutely, we want to embrace all these new technologies, and we want America to be a leader in these spaces.
Congressman, great stuff today. Thank you very much for that inside look at what happened last night. Please come back whenever there's something you'd like to talk about.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, and look forward to joining you again sometime soon.
All right, Congressman Ryan McKenzie, I can't get enough of that crypto belt there. Lehigh Valley, Allentown, et cetera. Yeah, we're going to be on that. But here's something. Did we have a drum roll? Do we have? Yes. I don't know if that's an Italian drum roll. All right, we're going back to Italy. The Grand Tour. Well, a side tour of this. It said you.
Buongiorno, Dom.
Yeah, buongiorno.
Your Italy trip sounds fantastic.
It said you just don't visit Italy. You fall head over heels in love with the ancient crossroads of civilization. The Greeks, the Romans, the Arabs, the Normans, the Spaniards, the Germans, I believe Patton, they all left their cultural mark. Join me for the sun, the sea, and the unparalleled beauty of Mediterranean Europe in Sicily and Rome's home country, Calabria. She is an American citizen, always has been. Just want that for the record. But they go back to Calabria, the Paganos. I'm heading for Europe again and going with the best tour operator in Italy. You know them, Conservative Tours, $55.44, including airfare. The dining events, you've heard us talk about them. We'll get the tour guide on to lay those out. They're unbelievable. Bustling Palermo, Quattro Conte, Monreale, the Palace of the Normans. Here's what you do. Just get all the information. That's all you have to do right now. Go to the website, conservativetours.com, or call them toll-free, 888-733-9494. You will even enjoy the Godfather Tour part of this. Yes, you'll visit the locales from the movie. The crown jewel of Sicily has to be Taormina. And I'll see you there in Mount Etna, the Valley of the Temples. This is Sicily, ancient, charming, picturesque, and always a country within a country.
The only thing we don't have is a good, nice, juicy Philly cheesesteak.
Is that with or without?
With.
You keep all that stuff? Of course. It's gravy, gravy, even in Sicily. All right, call 8.
We're wrong there.
I know that there's also in America a big fight against saying gravy or sauce.
What do you say, Giuseppe?
It's sauce.
Hey! Don't get that guy back. No Giuseppe the next time. All right, what you do is call 888-733-9494. I'll see you in Savoca.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Dom Giordano show. All right, well, those French cups, do we still call them that? I believe they do, and I couldn't see the cufflinks. But that blue suit, how did he have the camera on him there? Jeff Van Drew last night, Congressman Van Drew, certainly was in the house right there leaning over as the president went by. Congressman, welcome in. Is that one of your favorite suits last night?
It actually is one of my favorite suits. I wore it at the Republican National Convention when I gave a speech. I've worn it at just what I think are big events. It's fun. But, you know, it's conservative enough because, you know, I have even suits that are a little crazy, but it's just plain blue, but it's a bright blue, and it's just something a little bit different.
I think you can get away with pinstripes at something like that, right, Dom?
Oh, yeah, pinstripes, gangster look. You can do that.
I got pinstripes. Yeah. I got, absolutely. I got the squares, you know, I got it all.
All right, so Congressman, in the room last night, we talked to one of your colleagues, Ryan McKenzie, about it. You were an Air Democrat, some of whom. Were there any that were applauding the young man, the 13-year-old who was sworn in as a Secret Service agent? Or was it pretty much, as it looked on TV, They weren't going to applaud anything.
It was pretty much as it looked on TV. And, you know, that's sad because you really got to think about, just like voting, think about what you're voting for or against. Think about what you're standing up and applauding for. So I got to be honest with you. If we had a Democrat president that was doing something like that for a young man who's gone through a lot, or remembering somebody that has had a real challenge in their life. You know, they bring different people forward who kind of been examples of Americanism. I'm going to applaud for it. You can't be so partisan, so unbelievably angry that you don't applaud for good people. So, you know, I was surprised at that, but those folks are angry. They're just really, really angry. I understand that, but we shouldn't let it affect the way that we handle situations like that.
Well, without a doubt, and we both know politics 101, I mean, even if it's not your full heart, you at least have to acknowledge it publicly in that setting. That's beyond that. That's self-destructive. That's almost soulless not to realize, my God, I don't know what could wrench. Look, with Lake and Riley, as heart-wrenching as that, they don't agree with it, but they can still applaud the people there. They don't have to say they're applauding or agreeing with Trump and the Lake and Riley Act. To that point, Congressman, were you on that committee today? We saw Jim Jordan, Scott Perry, and others with the mayors coming in.
No, I was okay. Not. I actually had judiciary today and transportation. Okay. Transportation were done. Judiciary, I'm in the middle of, so I stepped out for a minute. But I got a bunch of things going on at once. It's one of the, for people listening, crazy things in Congress. For today's an example, we had a judiciary subcommittee on the Coast Guard, which I'm on, and then we had the judiciary hearing, which I'm also on, the full judiciary committee, on a number of bills, and we're kind of having some arguments, debates, colloquies on that. So transportation is done. That goes relatively quickly. Judiciary, on the other hand, we're debating and arguing all the time. So if you enjoy good debating, I hope it's good. Right. And arguing, that's the place to really see the difference between the left and the right.
What was the high point from the president last night? A lot of people think the moment we didn't have to change all these laws, we just had to change the president, meaning the border, et cetera. That summarized things very well. But what was the high point to you?
You know, the high point was America's back.
Okay.
That's it. It doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean that it's not going to be bumpy sometimes. But the basic stuff that you and I have talked about, do we love America? Do we believe in American exceptionalism? Do we believe in strong borders? Do we believe in a strong and focused military? You know, do we believe in clean and free and happy cities where there isn't just all the crime that occurs? Do we believe in this great nation at its inception that it truly is a gift from God? And we had lost our way from that. It really was. I mean, the theme really of the left, they don't want to admit it, but pretty much is everything's wrong. America's really not a great country, and we're just like every other country. It really is a globalistic viewpoint. And so to me, the theme is America's back. We're not going to be globalists. We're going to be, and there's nothing wrong with these words. I know the left doesn't like them, but America first, America best, America leading, America the life. The shining city on the hill. That's, to me, what the greatest of all was. Doesn't mean every single thing's going to be perfect, but we're going to work at making sure we keep our America.
We didn't get as much on Ukraine last night, and I think it was appropriate because this was, as you said, American renewal. But when the president did speak about that, there were good news, updates were moving forward, and the Democrats are left almost to be appearing. I'm sure some of them are not, you know, wanting to do this, that the war goes on. I mean, that's the alternative here. When even Zelensky and others are coming to the recognition that this is not going to turn their way, and every day that goes by is another day they can't get more of a settlement to their liking.
Well, you know, their way seems to be years and years and years of an endless war, possibly walking us into a war, World War III of some sort, possibly walking us into a situation where some of our troops could get committed, certainly walking us into spending more and more money. It's about, and everybody has different numbers. I'm not sure exactly what the right number is, but I'll tell you, is a prep for a lot of different reasons, but it's at least about one-fifth of $1 trillion we've spent already, and they want to keep it flowing. First of all, and I've said this all along, the very first tranche of Ukrainian money I voted for, nothing after that. I asked for the Department of Defense to audit where the money's going, doesn't happen. Ask for European countries to pay their fair share to really, they are, as the president pointed out last night, we're separated by an ocean. They're right there. Nope. They're great, these countries. You know, and I love them, and they're friends, and, we have relationships with them. But again, it has to be America first. They love to spend money. But the problem is they don't like spending their money. They like spending Americans' money. And Americans are getting tired of working so hard, spending so much, and having so much debt. So I think what the president is playing hard, he doesn't want to hurt Ukraine. He doesn't want to hurt the Ukrainian people. There are some issues with leadership, and there's certainly some corruption there. There has been for years. We still don't know where all the money went. So it's a real issue. So there's a new sheriff in town. He won't just leave them by the wayside, but he's saying, we've got to end this thing.
Exactly.
We've got to wrap it up. Russia's got to do the right thing as well, and we got to work it out.
Now, Congressman Jeff Van Drew with us. We had a great call today, and I was trying to explain to him an article I just read yesterday that really pinpointed how colossal the federal government is, the maze, somewhat out of a defense mechanism for the spending, how hard it is to run down exactly who approved the money, how they did it, and exactly where it's going. Maybe you can speak to that, because I know you have diligent people and you're on this. You don't want to sign off on something and then realize how it's kind of a scam of sorts. It's not what it was intended to be. Tell us how difficult it is to follow this stuff. Some of it is you get 2,000 pages dumped on you within 3 or 4 hours.
Absolutely. And there's no way you can read through all that. So I've tried to make a practice of not voting for that stuff. So here's the trick that they play in Congress and have for years. They'll take bills that are really good, things that are really good, really important, helping our farmers, supporting our military, helping our VA, or helping our veterans. I could go on and on. Defending our borders, making sure that our borders are intact. But especially the other side loves to jam into it at the same time all this other stuff that's bad stuff. So some of the New Jersey, the USAID, rather, the USAID, where we're spending money on transgender opera. I'm not making this stuff up, right? In Colombia. I don't quite understand what that is. I'd like somebody to explain that to me. Or, as we talked about before, the Muppets and Sesame Street in Iraq, or, $15, $20 million, somewhere around that. Condoms were purchased by terrorist groups. All of it. What are we doing? And they mix that stuff together. So either you are voting for a good thing that you want, but you don't get that opportunity. So you are voting for bad stuff in order to get the good thing done, or you're voting against good stuff because you don't want to vote for the bad stuff. That's a horrible place to be as a member of Congress, but that's what typically it has been. And hopefully we're going to get down to making sure that doesn't exist anymore. And let me say one other thing, too. In this process, as Republicans, we have to be careful that we are populist Republicans. We don't want to hurt people. Don't want to hurt people that are working hard, working 6 days a week, and I know them. These are my constituents, breaking their butt. And, they are on, family care, for example, which is a form of Medicaid, or disabled people or senior citizens. So we really do have to use a scalpel and not use a sledgehammer. And I think we can do that. But I think it's going to be bumpy, and I think some mistakes will be made, and we'll have to correct those mistakes.
Congressman, thank you again. Thanks for the fashion advice, too, on top of everything else today.
Okay. You got it, my friend. I will talk to you soon.
All right, Congressman Jeff Van Drew. Phone lines, I'm coming to you. And at 2 o'clock, shooting fish in a barrel. Scott Jennings last night on CNN. He'll be with us. And basically, he talked about the same thing we're seeing today. Could they be this oblivious to how this appeared last night? You heard two people in the room, and that's what it was like there. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless All we need you to do is just push pound 1210. A lot of action today with the Sanctuary City and these four mayors. And again, we talked to Ryan McKenzie. Can they somehow or another take away federal funding? Face it. They're in a different era here. They're trying to cover it up a little bit, but fundamentally, they're still wedded to Sanctuary City's illegal immigration. The only thing that'll stop it is taking away the federal funding. Also, coming up, who is it that Vince Finnerty and the Republican Party in Philadelphia are going to put up to run against Larry Krasner? I'll give you the answer, and you will not believe it. You will just not believe it. All the more reason why, I know they're busy in Washington, get this guy out as the head of the Republican Party. Just get him out of there. You know why it's important.
John, you're so close to doing it. Do it. Do it.
Get him out. Get him out of here.
Yeah. I mean, how many times do I have to explain? The closer we make it in Philadelphia, the better it is we beat Josh Shapiro and win Pennsylvania the next time around and moving forward. This guy gets in the way. You will not believe who they're putting on the ballot, if it's Larry Krasner or Dugan, to be the next DA, chief law enforcement officer, the great Republican Party in Philadelphia. Hey, let's face it. Most people fear the dentist. It's a real thing called dentophobia. Now, Dr. Bentz knows this, and I've seen over the years how he treats fearful patients. One patient came in with a full-on anxiety attack, tears and all, and Dr. Bentz and his great staff worked with her every step of the way, doing whatever it took that appointment to make her feel comfortable, give her space when she needed, and slowly showed her a positive, comfortable, and safe experience. Now, after a few months, she's comfortable and confident when she visits. It doesn't matter what your level of fear is, a little fearful, extremely anxious, you can count on Dr. Bentz and his staff for a pleasant dental experience. My dentist, my guy, Dr. Bentz. Give Dr. Bentz a call now. Get that initial appointment. 610-272-6949. Take care of the dental work you've been putting off. Or have him take a look-see here to make sure there's no long-term trouble brewing. Finally, get the smile that you've always wanted. All that with the Bentz Dental Group website, BentzDentalGroup.com, 610-272-6949. All right, it is Dom time. Let's end the mystery. Who are the Republicans running for DA against Larry Krasner or Dugan, whichever one wins the Democrat primary? The answer is nobody.
No one?
No one.
Nobody?
Is going to run. That is what their stance is. They said they tried everything in the world. Now,
what a guy that nobody is.
Yeah. Nobody will have a great shot here against Larry Krasner, yeah, of all people.
Fantastic. Fantastic chances for him.
Yeah. So Vince Finnerty. Vince, you got to call the office here. You got to call Dom at some point when you get
because
out.
Because Dom wants to be the next. He did have great moot court performances.
That's right. One moot court.
Would you run for Republican DA there, Don?
If they make it, a real operation, real money, of course. With Larry Krasner, he'd have to debate me. If there would be 7 to 10 debates, absolutely. At least that.
Do you need to have a law degree to be the DA?
No, do not.
Oh, sweet.
I think I could get an honorary one by then anyhow. That's not too hard to do.
Can I throw out a name that would be very interesting
yes.
if you did?
Right involved? Ahead. Yes.
George Baquetto?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got other big stuff. He's run for stuff. But, yeah, he would be a natural. And in a debate with Larry Krasner.
That's why I throw out the name.
Oh, my God. It would be brutal. You know, you'd have to separate that. But it's more, look, I know how busy they are in Washington. You can't have Sam Katz, who ran for mayor twice and came close, very close one time, makes the point, you know, it may not be winnable, but you groom candidates for other positions. Look at Joe Picozzi. He's, 29 or 30 at this point, won state senate, Northeast Philadelphia. You have pockets in South Philly of Republicans. But are people really that gung-ho for Larry Krasner? It doesn't appear to be this time. You have to have a viable, somewhat, Republican Party in Philadelphia. If you don't, we're going to go through this. Look, there's not going to be another Trump. Okay, J.D. Vance, leading candidate, great. Everyone, you're not going to see somebody who can galvanize people like Trump did. And even then, Philadelphia is so uphill. So you need to make incursions over a four-year period. That's the only way to win Pennsylvania. Otherwise, we're going to continue to go through this every time. You can't hope forever that they didn't like Joe Biden, they didn't come out and vote and all, you know, and Kamala Harris, that can happen. But to win, you need people to realize what the Republican Party is all about. You got to put up a candidate. You know, I'm going to make it my business. Any national people, they're probably unaware. Look, they're dealing with big stuff, but they got to say, hey, either put up a candidate here or you got to get out of being heading up the Republican Party. I mean, how does this work in Philadelphia? In other big cities, it's tough to be a Republican. They at least put up a candidate, though. Now, in the last election, the Republican candidate did lose by 44 points. I get it. But that's not the point. You're grooming candidates for other offices, and you can't have a party unless you move forward with some kind of candidate. I don't know if we have time for this, right? Virginia Fox?
Yeah, it's a great audio. Okay. We can save her next time.
Yeah. I saw her at the end last night gabbling to close. She's been on the show before, very feisty, forcing the mayors to reveal how much they spend today on the sanctuary cities on illegal aliens. But the great Scott Jennings is next. Last night, he should have had a bib on. I saw the saliva drip after that with the people he was facing on CNN. It's like a gunslinger. All right, we'll get Scott Jennings on all this stuff from CNN, and then we'll play you some of that sound. You got to put up a candidate, Vince. Take the bartender wherever you are right now. Put him up. Take two bartenders. Have a debate. Put one of them up. No candidate. Wow. 855-839-1210. You get in.
Of those who survived.
Harry, now, if you watch any more of those...
Dom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon. On Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.